The Republican leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is criticizing Democrats, calling for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from election-related cases or to be impeached.
Washington Democrats are now trying to bully this exemplary judge of 30-plus years out of an entire legal subject or off the court altogether.
Last week, news organizations reported on text messages from Thomas's wife, Ginny, urging a top official in the Trump White House to overturn the 2020 election. Justice Thomas has voted in favor of the Trump administration in a number of election-related cases. Supreme Court watcher Louis Varelli joins us now to talk about this. He teaches law at Stetson University in Florida. In his book is Disqualifying the High Court, Supreme Court Recusal and the Constitution. Louis Varelli, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, there are no limits on what spouses of Supreme Court justices can do or say, but how unusual is this situation with Ginny Thomas and the text messages?
I would call it highly unusual in the sense that I cannot think of a situation where a Supreme Court justice's spouse, first of all, was in a position to be this politically influential the way that Ginny Thomas is, or two, took as dramatic a position that could have as many legal ramifications as Ginny Thomas did in her texts to Mark Meadows.
And when you think about legal ramifications for her spouse, the Supreme Court justice, what comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is recusal. Typically, a federal judge would recuse any time their involvement in a case would cause a reasonable person to question their impartiality. Hmm. The calculus is a little bit different at the Supreme Court for two reasons. One, Supreme Court justices cannot be replaced once they're removed. So by choosing to recuse, a justice literally changes the size and nature of the court for that case, mm-hmm. So that matters. And the second thing is that recusal at the Supreme Court's not enforceable because there's no higher body reviewing the court. So those two things do make Supreme Court recusal somewhat unique in the sort of larger pantheon of judicial ethics.
Would it be plausible then, as you kind of think about the cases that may come up before the high court, that Clarence Thomas might recuse himself, given what's been in the news?
Well, I can certainly think of a situation where he would be, in my view, required to by law and therefore should recuse for constitutional reasons. And that would be a case that came before the court where, for example, Ginny Thomas's actual texts were at issue in the case, whether they were evidence or they were some of the investigatory materials that gave rise to the case that appeared before the court. Or alternatively, if Ginny Thomas were a witness in a case.
Okay, now Clarence Thomas has weighed in on a few election-related cases. In January, he was the one justice to vote against giving former President Donald Trump's records to the January 6th Select Committee investigators. He also joined Justice Alito in saying he wanted to hear a challenge to election procedures in states that President Biden won in 2020. I just wonder, do you think those positions are more curious now that we've seen these text messages of his wife?
Well, it certainly goes to the problem of appearances. One of the things that recusal is designed to protect against is the appearance of partiality or biases on the court, because those appearances can cause the public to lack or lose confidence in the court, which is a really important thing in a democracy. I don't know that the law of recusal would require Justice Thomas to recuse in cases like the ones he has sat on, because they don't directly implicate his wife or her conduct. That's not to say the appearances aren't important, but it goes back to my point about Supreme Court recusal being a little bit different. When you change the size of the court, particularly in a case involving, for example, a presidential election, you change several things about the case. One is the possibility of a tie vote, which means that the lower court opinion, the Circuit Court of Appeals decision, would control. And, you know, in that situation, you would have a regional court of appeals being the final arbiter of an election dispute for a national election. That's problematic. So what I've written about in the past, what my book focuses on, is that there has to be a balance at the Supreme Court level between the ethical concerns about appearances and confidence in the court and the court's actual ability to do its job. And justices have the responsibility of doing that balance in close cases.
You know, at this moment, I wonder if you, as a legal scholar, judicial scholar, worry about this appearance question. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, has spoken a lot about avoiding even the appearance of political impropriety.
I worry about it very much, and I think the Chief Justice does as well. I worry about it in light of the way our confirmation hearings have gone. The court's approval rating has been falling. And then to have something like a Supreme Court justice's spouse take such a radical and undemocratic position and try to effectuate the overturning of a legitimate election, or at least an election for which there is no evidence that it was illegitimate, is really problematic. And as I say, the appearances are very important, such that I think, even though I'm advocating for a balancing, I think the balance should be done in favor of promoting confidence in the court. And Justice Thomas's wife's conduct, Ginni Thomas's conduct, certainly creates enough concern that it may counsel in favor of recusal in a wider range of cases.
Mm-hmm. Louis Varelli is a professor of law at Stetson University. Professor, thank you for the time.
Thank you.